You're listening to Hillbilly Solid here on WUKY, listener-supported radio, and we are very pleased to have with us in the studio today George Ella Lyon, one of the most beloved writers that I know of. Everywhere I go, people talk about her and talk about how much they love her and her books. She is a native of Harlan County, Kentucky, and now lives in Lexington. Amazingly, she has published 43 books. She created the internationally used poetry prompt, Where I'm From, and her books have also been read all over the world, and we're awful pleased to have her with us today, Georgia Lyon. Well, thanks for being here.
I'm glad to be here.
I always love how you refer to yourself as a wordful child. That's such a beautiful phrase. Can you expand on that for our listeners and tell them what you mean by that? Why the love affair with words?
I was just always fascinated with the sound of words and the magic of them. I think because my parents were readers and my mother played word games with me, imagination games, that fed that natural affinity for words. And my daddy read poetry out loud sometimes, adult poems. And I just loved the way they sounded. It was like they have made something out of words, and it holds so much feeling. It holds so much power. Even if I couldn't have told you what it meant, I had the feeling, you know, I responded to the feeling. Yeah, and so the first time I wrote a poem, I can remember I was in about the third grade, and I just had this feeling that was way too big for me. I used to say to my mother, I feel like I've swallowed a circus tent. I just had this huge, huge feeling. But because I had heard poems and I loved words, then I tried to make someplace else to put those feelings, you know. And I remember where I was and what it was about and the absolute thrill I had, you know, from doing that.
Who were some of the poets you were reading when you were very young?
Oh, they had a book called 101 Famous Poems they got as a wedding present. And Daddy read everything from Shakespeare to Edna St. Vincent Millay to Edgar A. Guest, you know, whatever was in there. James Whitcomb Riley, Sarah Teasdale.
Who's the first
Tennyson.
One that really, really spoke to you, though?
The first time I remember a specific poem. I was in the sixth grade, and our literature book, we never read the poetry in class. We never got to that. I think teachers were scared of it. But it had Spring and Fall, Hopkins, Spring and Fall to a Young Child. Margaret, Are You Grieving Over Golden Grove Unleaving? And I read that poem. I thought I was getting the flu. So, you know, then the next day I wasn't sick, and so I thought, well, I guess I wasn't getting the flu. And the next time I read that poem, I had that same, I mean, it just went all over me.
Wow.
And then I realized, it's that poem. I came down with that poem. And then in high school, I read Dylan Thomas, and Carl Sandburg really spoke to me, and Whitman, and the St. Vincent Millay.
Did you go through a dark, angst-ridden period where you were, you know, writing really depressing poems and all that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Very, you know, very dark.
Wore a beret and
I don't think I had a beret, but if I'd had one, I would have worn it.
Well, you got two new books out. One that's been out, what, about a year, I guess?
Which are you on? Came out in October.
Yeah. And then She Let Herself Go. It was pretty new as well. Just when did it come out?
March.
Yeah. Well, Which Side Are You On, I think, is definitely one of your best books. And out of 43 books, that's really saying something, I think.
Thank you.
It's such an important, powerful book. Can you tell us a little bit about why you wrote it and the way you wrote it?
I was scheduled to do a poetry reading with the Real World String Band in June of 2004 at the library. And I've done this several times with them. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit about what songs they're going to do, and I'll bring some poems, and I'll just slip in a poem here and there. And that day, they sang "Which Side Are You On?" And of course, I knew the song. I've been a folk music follower since I was 14, and then I grew up in Harlan County, so I knew it was from Harlan County, and knew some of the story of the coal strikes then and later. But I'd never heard the story of how she wrote the song. Bev had heard Florence tell this at the Highlander Center, and it was so powerful. I was just astounded. And I happened to be going to Harlan that afternoon to see my mother. So that underlined it, because I was going right past the exit for Molas, where she lived, when she wrote that song. And the fact that she, in such an extreme situation, where her husband was a union organizer, a miner, they had seven children, were barely making it, the coal miners were on strike, people were in terrible straits, he was in danger. She got word to him that the gun thugs were after him. So he left, went over the mountain, and she was left there with the kids. And when the gun thugs start shooting up the house, she's powerless, except she writes a song.
Mm-hmm.
She can't shoot back. She can't keep it from happening, but she speaks back. She grabs the voice that she has. She takes an old tune. Some say it was Jack O'Rowe. Some say it was Lay the Lily Low. And she wrote new words for it. And that survived. They all survived. The whole family survived. And that song then was taken up by the Miners Union, but it's gone on as an anthem for workers' rights and civil rights all over the world. And it was sung at the Wisconsin teachers' strike. It was recently sung in Athens. It was sung at Occupy Wall Street. And so, like when I read that Hopkins poem in the sixth grade, I was just taken with that story. I couldn't forget it. And I started just, you know, writing it down, just the details as she said them. And then all of a sudden, the voice of the kid, one of her children, came into my head, and I began to write it as if I were one of the kids under the bed.
Yeah, it's the perfect marriage of words and illustrations, I think. I just love the way it's illustrated.
Yeah, I was thrilled.
It's very action-oriented.
Yeah, Christopher Cardinale, who did the illustrations, has done a graphic novel and does peace comics. And and he came down to Harlan County himself, which tells you a lot.
Yeah, that comes through in the book, I think, that he understands the land, even, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he wanted to drive all around.
We
drove over to Hazard and up to Cumberland. And so he got a sense and went to different archives as well, but to actually, not just to be looking at books, but to be in the places.
Right. Yeah, I can't recommend highly enough to everybody listening to go out to your local independent bookstore and pick up a copy. And while we're on the subject of picking up a copy, everybody should pick up your new book, which is already getting wide acclaim, and it's published by LSU Press, one of the premier poetry publishers in the country. Wouldn't you say?
Well, I've always looked to their poetry series.
Me too.
Yeah.
What do you want us to know about this book?
Well, it's been a long time coming. I've had other books of poetry, but the oldest poem in here is, like, I guess, 18 years old. But the shape of it just gradually became clear to me, you know. And it really is, it's a book of liberation, and it's a book of taking off the masks. You know, we're given gender roles, cultural expectations. I used to joke and say it took me 20 years to get the bridal veil off. You know, you inherit so many notions of how you're supposed to be and how other people are supposed to be and what it means to be female and what it means to be a partner, what it means to be a mother, a daughter, a friend, all those things. And to try, and you get them from fairy tales and myths and the Bible and, you know, all the
everyday
places.
Life.
Yeah, everyday yeah. life, the grocery store,
right.
In the myth department. And so it's about trying to peel down to the true, to the true self.
Do you have one you can share with us?
Sure, sure. This is called Some Big Loud Woman. I need some big loud woman to listen to. Orangey red, wild haired, her voice like a waterfall of kettles. Her head back, eyes shut, back arched to roar that music out. I need the brass and bramble of her low notes, the trembling windows of her high. Bare feet planted on the floorboards, green dress a summer canopy, the wail in one line, a scar on the air. I need to listen to a big, loud woman, heavy fists pounding on my table, her anger, fire in the hearth. I need the avalanche of her laughter, the flood of her truth. I need to listen to some big, loud woman. I need some big, loud woman to listen to.
That's great. Didn't you write a song
about that too? I did write a song about yeah. that, yeah.
That's one of my favorites. Yeah, that's something that not enough people know about you. You're a really fine songwriter, too.
Thank you. I love singing. I mean, singing is just one of the best things in the world.
We spent some time on the road together in the band.
We
sang Which Side Are You On many, many times around Appalachia.
We sure did with new words.
Yes. Well, I can't thank you enough for being here. It's always a pleasure.
Well, it's been wonderful. Thank you, Silas.